the rest of the story. There is an elusive, illusory love in the life of comic strip character Charlie Brown. She's the little red-haired girl. She's Charlie Brown's ideal, the perfection of which all else falls short, and yet either circumstances or the little boy's own shyness perpetually stands in the way of their romance. Well, once upon a time, there was a Charlie Brown. Only his little red-haired girl had golden curls and smiling, beguiling blue eyes. The real-life little boy, his name was Harry, met this devastating creature in Sunday school when he and she were six. He learned her name, Elizabeth Virginia Wallace. He would not use it for 5 years, so in awe was he of this vision of loveliness that for 5 years he could not summon the courage to speak to her. As the youngsters grew up, it became apparent that pretty Miss Wallace was the more athletically inclined of the two. A tomboy is what she was, superlative in sports, the only girl in town who could whistle through her teeth. Little Harry admired her greatly for that, and still he worshipped her from afar. He might have been intimidated by her family's affluence or by her grandfather's imposing community pillar status, but he was not. He was merely gloriously overwhelmed by her, and it seemed he would always be. In high school, Harry continued to daydream about the lovely Elizabeth Wallace, although by then he had managed to make an occasional contact. He had once even walked Elizabeth home from school carrying her books, which the love-struck boy considered a major triumph. He wrote songs for her and doubtless poetry. Of course, Harry was not her only admirer. In fact, Elizabeth had more prospective boyfriends than all of the other girls in school put together. How might she then have noticed that one boy in particular, with room in his heart only for her? At the age of 19, the high-spirited, strong-willed young lady was dealt a deflating blow. Her 43-year-old father, in a despondent swoon, committed suicide. Following the tragedy, Elizabeth moved into her grandfather's mansion at 219 North Delaware, and from there to an exclusive finishing school. And yet, while Elizabeth was winning shot-put contests and serving as her school's basketball team star forward, Harry remained home, and true to her memory, earning modest wages as a local bank clerk. It's incredible that these two utterly dissimilar people ever got together. Even after Elizabeth's graduation had put the distractions of education behind her, there was still very little foundation for a relationship with Harry. She liked fishing and ice skating and tennis and dancing and card games and ball games and all of the activities with which Harry was completely bored. And to Elizabeth's grandparents, he was something less than a suitable suitor. No money, no college education, apparently no future. A thoroughly unpromising prospect for a husband. But there was one thing on which the young lady's family and friends had not counted. The young man deeply loved her and had placed her on a pedestal at the age of six in Sunday school and simply refused to let her down. If a success was what Elizabeth's mother and grandparents wanted for her, then he would become successful, and he would court the girl of his dreams until she gave in, and she did give in, and she did marry him at the age of 35, and they lived happily ever after. They shared an infinite affection and a marvelous sense of humor, it said, and by the way, the path of achievement upon which Harry had originally set out to impress Elizabeth's family, eventually that path led him all the way, for this was the Independence, Missouri courtship of Harry and Bess Truman. Now you know the rest of the story.